New research suggests independent and minor party popularity is surging. The latest polling indicates SA Greens maintain 12% support, with the party positioning themselves as holding Labor to account. With at least 7 new candidates running this year, they continue to advocate for social housing, 50-cent public transport, reaching net zero targets, and improving the state's algae bloom crisis. So how have some of their actions translated? I spoke with leader Rob Sims to reflect on the past 4 years and hear more on the intentions of the party.
I'm really proud of what the Greens have achieved in the South Australian Parliament over the last 4 years. I mean, we've been in a situation where we've shared the balance of power with other independent and crossbench players, yet we've been able to deliver a lot. We were able to work with the Labor government to deliver the biggest changes to residential tenancies laws in 25 years, finally acts no cause evictions. We worked with the government on donations reform to finally ban political donations in South Australia. We were also able to get legislation passed, a private members bill to strengthen the penalties for demolition by neglect. I also got legislation through to protect and strengthen our public assets to ensure that they're not privatised without appropriate parliamentary scrutiny. We've also initiated a range of parliamentary inquiries on important issues like the algal bloom.
You've got 2 candidates running for the Legislative Council. How are you supporting them and strengthening your role in ensuring that Labor remains on track?
My role at the moment, because I'm not up for election myself, I'm halfway into an 8-year term, is really to support the candidates and get out there and do as much work as I can in terms of being out on the ground supporting them and also doing policy announcements and being out there talking about our agenda for the campaign, whether it's pushing for rent capping or building more housing or 50-cent public transport fares or things like more of a focus on our environment and tackling climate change. I'm trying to also push the 2 major parties to do better, which I think South Australians deserve.
What have been some of the community responses in different electorates that you've heard so far?
There's obviously a lot of concern around cost of living and that's impacting on lots of people. The other thing that's coming up quite a lot is people are concerned about the potential for the Labor Party to win control of both houses of parliament and to have unfettered power. And I think people are really looking for a party that can be a handbrake on the Labor government and really hold them to account. As I mentioned earlier, the Greens have got a really good track record in terms of doing that.
And when it comes to supporting the needs of minority groups in the state, can you talk through perhaps some of the significance of your policies in relation to housing and also healthcare, because that's a really big concern at the moment?
I mean, in terms of minorities in particular, one of the things that we're really passionate about in the Greens is ensuring that women's reproductive rights are protected and that women are able to make decisions about their own bodies. We're also supportive of ensuring that trans people are able to access gender-affirming care and that those things are free from political interference, which I think is really important. And obviously those things are going to become a bit of a focus during this election with the policies of One Nation. In terms of the housing space, we believe that everybody has a right to a roof over their head and a place to call home. And that's why we've been pushing for an investment in a public builder. And we'd like to see a housing trust restore its mission as a public builder. So actually building properties for South Australians, 20,000 public homes over the next 4 years. And then also to address the issues we have within the rental market, a cap on rent increases, ensuring they can only increase once in a 2-year period in line with inflation. And we also want to address some of the issues we have around long-term vacant property.
Given the current state of the crisis, how much of an impact do you think an extra 20,000 social homes would have compared to, I think, Labor's proposed 1,000?
I think that the big difference is that the Labor Party is talking about very small-scale public housing investment. We're talking about large-scale public housing investment. And I think that would have a huge impact. I mean, it would certainly clear the public housing wait list. And if you had that huge investment in housing, really turbocharging a construction of housing over a 4-year period, and you coupled that with rent caps and some controls over the amount of profit that landlords can make, I think that would be a real game changer for South Australia.
Malinauskas met with Anthony Albanese over the weekend and announced 17,000 new homes. What is your response to this 17,000 new homes?
Oh, look, I think I always welcome governments coming to the table to say they're going to make more housing available. But my understanding is that this is going to be not public housing. It's going to be housing developed by private developers. It's not clear to me how affordable that housing is going to be. Absolutely, having more housing is going to potentially, you know, boost supply and reduce some of the costs, and we welcome that. But we really need to have public housing that is available to people at low cost.
Part of your environmental policy is to oppose the AUKUS agreement. What effects are you aiming for there?
Yeah, look, I think a lot of South Australians are very concerned about AUKUS. Essentially outsourcing decisions about our state and our nation to a man over in the United States, because Donald Trump's foreign policy is so erratic. I think a lot of people are very concerned about that. The Greens have said, well, hang on, we need to scrap AUKUS. This is money from both the federal and state governments that could be reinvested, put back into the services that we need. Well, let's not forget, it's billions and billions of dollars of taxpayer money that's being pumped into this agreement. Whatever you might think of defence spending, I think any objective person would say this is a pretty dud deal. There's lots of former politicians from all sides of politics who've spoken out and said this is just not a good deal for Australia or South Australia.
I can see that you've also proposed a human rights charter for South Australia. How would that impact current laws and the rights of people with a more local framework?
So I was part of a parliamentary inquiry that looked at this, and it had representatives from all sides of politics on it, and it recommended that we should have a form of human rights charter here in South Australia. Now, our suggestion in terms of what's in it is that would be a matter for government, and it would need to be developed in consultation with the community. Over in Victoria, where they developed a human rights charter, they ran a series of community forums and events, and then that ensured that there were some key fundamental rights that were enshrined in legislation. What's the practical effect? Well, it can guide the work in particular of government at departments, which I think is really vitally important. We do sometimes have a situation where human rights can be forgotten in political debates. We saw that during the push to legislate anti-protest laws, where the Labor and Liberal parties just worked in unison. And I think if we'd had a human rights charter in place, that might have created a bit of a framework around some of those discussions. It's about having some safeguards. And I think that's really important at the moment. We are seeing basic human rights and civil liberties starting to be eroded in lots of places around the world. And so now's the time for us to really have this conversation, I think. We want to ensure that the rights of people to, you know, engage in peaceful protest are protected, but also the other really important rights, you know, the right to housing and the right to water, electricity. These sorts of things are pretty basic in our democracy.
Leader of SA Greens, Rob Sims, speaking with me.